This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream house or ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Polestar. There's only one true way to experience the all-electric luxury SUV Polestar 3, and that's to take a test drive. It can go from 0 to 60 in as little as 4.8 seconds with the dynamic handling of a sports car. But to truly understand how it commands the road, you need to be behind the wheel. Up to 350 miles of range, the 3D surround sound system by Bowers & Wilkins, it's all something you have to experience to believe. So book your test drive for Polestar 3 today at Polestar.com.
Welcome back.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Give me one good reason you're not a nudist.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Well, I would say Little Steve.
Oh, because of your Little Steve. Because of his little TJ.
Today's guests. Former MLB pitcher Jim Abbott, actor Freddie Prinze Jr., plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And, you know, those who watch this program, listen to this program, whether it's on the Roku channel or the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, or Odyssey, you know where my allegiances lie. I always shoot you straight. I always tell you what's on my mind and what's in my heart and what's in my soul. Certainly when it comes to sports. Well, that's it, sir. So, you know, if it's Michigan or Yankees, obviously, those are the two sporting entities that still have like an emotional pull on me, right? Mm-hmm. So if those two should cross, for instance, you know, you have me at hello, right? And there's certain folks who our booking staff know are anytime guests. If they're on a press tour or they want to come on or whatever, the answer is an immediate yes, which it was for me when I received this opportunity to have our next guest on during the American Century Championship. I try to tap out, but there is still business of this show. I said yes on the spot.
Boom.
I hearted it, as a matter of fact. It was a heart. Wasn't one of those thumbs up. It was a heart. Because this man has it beating in his chest. Southpaw, the life and legacy of Jim Abbott, premiered last night on ESPN, is now available for streaming on ESPN+. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Abbott back on the Rich Eisen Show. Only way I can introduce you, brother. Good to see you. Look at you, man. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I'm up here in the woods in northern Michigan.
Okay.
And, enjoying summertime, and I appreciate the kind introduction.
It's the truth.
Right back at you. You know, go blue. We're almost, I think we're almost exact contemporaries in Ann Arbor.
I think so too, Jim. I was in the class of 90. Weren't you in 89? Were you 89 or 88?
Were you? I would have been 89.
Okay.
I left in 88 for the Olympic team.
Right.
And for the, yeah.
Who was on that Olympic team in 88?
Oh, it was one of the great teams I've ever been on. It was all amateurs at that point. So there was no professionals. We had Ben McDonald, Robin Ventura, Tino Martinez, Charlie Nagy, just a great, great group of college players and coaches, and won a gold medal in Seoul, Korea. And it was one of the highlights of my life.
So how many games did you start for Team USA, Jim?
I don't know how many I started, but I know I started and finished the last one.
Okay.
I was out there for that ninth inning and that gold medal, and ground ball to Ventura. He threw a perfect strike across the infield to Tino Martinez, and we celebrated like dumb baseball players do. I was at the bottom of that pile.
What was it like? That's again, awesome. A perfect question to ask somebody who's wearing, an American flag on the hat here. What was it like for you, medal ceremony, hearing the national anthem, Jim? What was that like for you?
It was insane. It was, the Olympics for us baseball players, it's strange. You see these great athletes and you see them walking around the village And that you know that they're built for their competition, that you can almost tell what they do just by looking at them. And their individual accomplishments are crazy. I'm a huge Olympics fan. But I was so thankful to stand on that podium with 24 other teammates, you know, because it was the elation we felt, the excitement we felt was so shared and palpable that it was just one of the most incredible, indelible feelings of my life.
Well, I remember seeing you play at the University of Michigan, Jim, and I might have told you this story the last time you've been on or whatever, so forgive me. We have a new audience here anyway, potentially. I remember, because I covered the Michigan baseball team. It was the first big beat that I got for the Michigan Daily, the greatest student publication known to man. And I remember Bud Middall was your manager, was your coach, and it was a doubleheader. And you started the first game, and I think you pitched a shutout. I just remember you were incredibly impressive. But the second game, Middall put you at the plate to prove to a whole bunch of National League scouts that you could hit despite the fact that you were born without a right hand. Do you remember that day and what you did up at the plate that day, Jim, or you don't remember? Because I remember.
I wish I had one of those brains that remembers every game. Some guys I know every pitch, but I don't remember. I remember pitching, you know, obviously there, but I don't remember hitting.
Well, you hit, you laced a line drive to the gap for an extra base hit, Jim. And and I remember that there were a bunch of scouts, because I saw their briefcases in which they brought their, you know, their jugs gun. And there was like the Giants, there were the Mets, there were all sorts of National League scouts that were in the crowd. Did you feel you had to prove yourself to National League scouts when you were coming up back in the day, Jim?
Well, I think they knew I could hit. I just had to prove my speed. That was the
right.
No, I didn't think too much about that. I always fancied myself a pretty good hitter from high school on, and none of my coaches seemed to agree. I did end up playing for the Brewers at the end of my career and got two base hits in the big leagues, both off of John Lieber.
Nice.
One in Wrigley Field, which is another 2-hour documentary we can talk about. But, I loved hitting. The only thing I really know about hitting is that it's hard to do. I, you know, faced Greg Maddux in the big leagues one time, and every pitch seemed to be coming out of the same exact hand location, and every pitch was just a little bit different. So it's really hard. Even what you would classify as an average MLB pitcher is incredible. The talent level is amazing. The time you have, the lack of time you have to react is insane.
I'm going to take a stab at this. Were Larkin and Sabo teammates of yours at any point in time at Michigan, or you didn't overlap?
They were. Larkin would have been a senior when I was a freshman.
Okay.
And he went pro with the Reds. And I believe that's the same thing for Sabo and Larkin after that. But they had some great teams just before I got there.
No doubt. No doubt. Jim Abbott here on the Rich Eisen Show. Obviously, let's talk about September 4th, 1993. I just saw Baker Mayfield at the American Century Championship. So I'll ask a Mayfield related sort of question. Did you wake up dangerous that day, Jim? Did you wake up dangerous that morning? On September 4th, 1993.
I love that. No, actually the opposite, to be dead truthful. I was, I had been traded to the Yankees. It hadn't been a perfect season to me to that point. I faced the Indians in my previous start in Cleveland, got shelled, didn't make it out of the third inning. There were whispers of, you know, disappointment within the organization and in the media. And that was the backdrop. I didn't feel dangerous going to the ballpark that morning. In fact, the game felt dangerous to me. And, it was magical. Things just went right. My teammates made incredible plays. And I loved pitching in Yankee Stadium. It was a day game. Matty Noakes was our catcher that day, and his enthusiasm, and Donnie Mattingly at first, and Wade Boggs had an incredible game at third base. Just a magical day when everything went right.
Look at that picture on the screen right there. What does this bring back for you right here?
Just the joy, You know, look at Mike Gallego there. He must be 4 feet in the air for him to be.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's Boggs that he's kind of riding horseback right there. You know what I mean? To use another Boggs moment in the history of Yankee Stadium. I think that's – and then a look at Matt Noakes there, a longtime Tiger as well, you know, from the state of Michigan there. I mean, I'm just wondering what this moment elicits from you right now, Jim.
You know, just the joy, just the like the Olympics, the shared experience. You know, Matty Noakes, look at the excitement on his face. And, you know, Wade Boggs was a tremendous teammate. And what I loved about Boggsy, and, you know, there's a lot of funny stories about Wade, and he'll even tell them himself. He loved and had a deep appreciation for the history of the game, for the Red Sox, for the Yankees. He took it very, very seriously. Every at bat, he took his fielding, you know, the way the conditioning of the field. And after that no hitter, there was a gleam in his eyes. I picked up on it. He was more excited than I was about just the history of what was going on. And I'll never forget that reaction.
Yeah. And I'm just again wondering, you mentioned how, you know, you get shelled in the start before. It makes sense too. Jim, I mean, Lofton, Carlos Baerga, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome in the lineup on the day you threw that no-hitter against those guys. That's a hell of a lineup. I mean, and I'm wondering if any memories of the game about pitching to these guys and what the stresses it might have put on you while you were doing this thing.
Yeah, in doing the film with Jeremy Schapp, who's the interviewer and reporter. He's so great.
He's the best, man. No doubt.
Oh my God. He's encyclopedic with his knowledge of baseball. And I think he added up all the home runs in that lineup. And it was some extraordinary amount that you would probably rank up there with a lot of different teams. But you know what I remember, Rich, is I remember getting to the ballpark early and Matty Noakes, like you mentioned, former Tiger. He wasn't our primary catcher, so he was in the lineup for a day game, still a great ball player. And he showed up with the Indians lineup card. And we were going over all their strengths, Lofton's speed, and Baerga's, you know, average, and Bell's power. And Manny Ramirez just got called up to that team. And finally, Matty just threw the lineup card on the table and said, you know what, I don't care about what they do. You know, let's get back to what you do best. You know, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's throw a few more breaking balls. But for the most part, you see my mitt and you throw it through my mitt. Let's trust it. And that was the game plan. You know, I loved Yankee Stadium. The national anthem played. I wiped off the pitching rubber and, you know, just set out on this course that would honestly change my life.
When did you realize that this could be happening?
I didn't really think about it much until after the sixth inning was over. I was sitting in the dugout and, you know, everybody knows baseball's dumb superstition. Teammates get a little bit quieter in the dugout. You know, there's an acknowledgement kind of what's going on. But I knew how fickle something like this is. And I had a no-hitter a few weeks before that in the eighth inning against the White Sox. I jammed Bo Jackson with a good pitch and he hit it out to center field for a single. So I knew the fates kind of have to be lined up. And that was helpful, to be honest, because it was like there was this letting go of result. You know, it's just about making good pitches and just being out there and enjoying the moment. And that ninth inning, I felt it in every cell of my body, the breathing, the knees, the heart, everything. It was just unbelievable.
You did, huh? I love that. You just, what did you say? Letting go of the result. That's pretty neat, man. That's some good sports psychology right there, Jim. You're just having to execute in the ninth inning. And again, Baerga being the last out too, man. I mean, that's something, Jim.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to. I mean, it's like golf in that way. You know, you can hit a good shot and things can go awry easily. And so you have to settle yourself into making a good swing. Not that I have any business talking about golf mindset, but that's what pitching is. You know, it's letting go of result and making the highest quality pitch that you possibly can and doing it over and over again and letting things fall where they may. And in that day, for sure, there was a certain peacefulness in that approach.
A few minutes left here with Jim Abbott. Southpaw, the life and legacy of Jim Abbott, again, premiered last night on ESPN, available now for streaming on ESPN+. Plus, it's a Jeremy Schapp production, essentially, for E60, which means it's spectacular in its own right, and the story, obviously, is something to behold. You got a good Mattingly story? I mean, he is my favorite baseball player of my generation, if you will. My daughter's middle name is Mattingly. I adore the guy. I think he is just the man. But you got a good Mattingly story for me, Jim Abbott, please?
Rich, put me in the same category. I love Donnie Mattingly, and I loved him more after being a teammate with him. Mm. We showed up to spring training. It was my first spring training with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And we're going through the mundane, boring pitchers fielding practice on the backfield in Fort Lauderdale. The position players don't even have to be in spring training yet. Mm-hmm. And out walks Donnie Mattingly, full uniform, has his glove. He walks out to this backfield and he jumps into the PFP most boring drill just because he wanted to get a feel for all the pitchers on the team and what, you know, how they covered first base and their speed getting over there. And he wanted them to get a feel for the way he liked to communicate. And that's just who Donnie was. I mean, you know, you can take him out of Evansville, but you can't take Evansville out of the boy. And he was cool as could be. He could wear a sport coat with turtles on it and a turquoise bracelet. And you'd go, yep, that works, Donnie. That's perfect.
Right. I feel the same way. And then, you know, that was 94, I think, is the year you're talking about, your first year of spring training with the Yankees, a year after your no hitter. And that, you know, Mattingly was breaking down physically, unfortunately, and he still finished top 20 in the MVP voting that year with his umpteenth gold glove of his career. And it's just a killer to me that the Yankees just went on that dynastic run the year after he left. You know, I mean, it still hurts me as a person.
If anyone deserved it, he did. And, you know, even when he was hurt, even if he had a pulled ribcage muscle or something, he would still take batting practice. He wouldn't swing, but he would watch pitches come in to stay sharp. And he could move around the Yankee clubhouse from, you know, the group of relief pitchers to the starting pitchers to the position players. And he moved effortlessly and seamlessly through all those different cliques. He was the captain for a reason. And, you know, he was Derek Jeter before Derek Jeter.
Mm. Last one for you in terms of memory lane for this. You mentioned earlier, Jim, that you heard rumblings about some disappointment within Yankee management after you got shelled by Cleveland. That sounds like that could come from a certain shipbuilder from the city of Cleveland who did not like losing, period, let alone to the hometown team from Cleveland, and George M. Steinbrenner III, the owner of the New York Yankees. Would I be accurate in saying some of those rumblings came from that particular office of the Yankees, Jim?
Would be very accurate.
Yep, but I'm sure he might have been the first one after you threw that no-hitter in Yankee Stadium against Cleveland. Whatever he might have been upset about went out the window right there. What was he like after you throwing that no-hitter, Jim?
Rich, he was amazing. There was a bottle of champagne, a magnum of champagne in my locker. I got a beautiful engraved cigar box made for the Yankee organization. And I went to Yankee Stadium last week. I threw out the first pitch. I went in the booth with Paul O'Neill and Michael Kay and Susan Wallman, all the group. And I was they just rolled out the red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I was struck, honestly, for all the talk of the tumultuousness of the Yankee organization. There were so many friends in the front office, in security, in every role who were still there. And it was emotional. There was a lot of hugs and just the way, you know, their welcome, their generosity with this film has been absolutely heartwarming to me. It means a lot.
Do you still have stuff from that day? What do you got? What do you have?
Yeah, I have my favorite memorabilia. I got to the ballpark the next day and the grounds crew. Frankie was, I don't have his last name right now, but Frankie was the leader of the grounds crew. And people don't know, Frankie was also missing a hand like I am. And when I got to the ballpark the next morning, slight headache, They called the grounds crew called me on the field, and they dug out the pitching rubber out of the mound, and they had every player on the Yankees sign it. And
wow.
Yeah, for people who don't know, the pitching rubber is a big hunk of rubber and metal, and it's not easy to get out of the ground. And they pulled it out. They had everybody sign it, and we took a picture with it, and it sits in my office to this day. It's my proudest piece of memorabilia from my career.
Jeez. Before I let you go, Jim, what do you want people to know about your story? Obviously, there's this beautiful film that Jeremy Schapp put all of his heart and soul into, which means it's beautiful and it's a heck of a story. But I'll just give you the last word here on what you want people to know, Jim Abbott.
You know, Mike Farrell directed it and edited it, and I tip my cap to them. I just want them to know, Rich, whether it's me pitching or you doing your show or whatever it is that you might be doing, going about your job, going about your passion, raising a family, there's people watching and there's people seeing how you go about that. And there's people that you can make an impact with by going just a little above and beyond. And this story talks a lot about the kids and the families that we worked with the Yankees, with the Angels throughout my career, that I didn't think it was that big a deal to meet with them in the corridors of these stadiums. And yet you see the things that they're doing now, doctors and lawyers and MMA fighters and football players, Shaquem Griffin, you know, it's an amazing, impactful thing to know that you can make that kind of difference in somebody's life.
Jim Abbott, you're awesome, man. You're awesome. And I'd love having you on whenever, you know, whenever you want. There's always a place here for you on my program. Thanks for everything that you've done and what you stand for. And go blue, sir. Go blue.
Blue. I'm a big fan, Rich. Thanks for having me again.
Jim Abbott, thank you, sir. Jim Abbott, Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott is now available on ESPN Plus. Please take the time to go stream it. And that means you can get it right here on Roku. Great stuff right there from Jim Abbott. Northern Michigan, beautiful part of the country. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if he's in the UP or not, but that's Mariucci country. You know, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Just a delight catching up with Jim Abbott. Any Mattingly stories where he comes off as great means it's true. You know how I feel. Taylor's middle name is Mattingly for a reason.
Donnie Baseball.
Oh God, I don't. All right, let's not go there. I finished second to last in that story, or DFL in that story.
DFL in that story.
Yeah, very good. Okay, very good. Yeah. Very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Overreaction Monday on a Monday coming up. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, or brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. So, you know, we love talking movies around here. You know, we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also, Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
Brockman and Del Tufo here. We're in Washington, D.C. for MLB All-Star Weekend. Mike, this is a huge one.
Biggest week of the year for the MLB.
We figured, hey, look, we're a couple of celebrities. Let's have ourselves a home run derby. Now, with a little twist. I'm going to pitch. You're going to hit. You get five outs. Can you get one home run off of me? Yes or no?
I'm going to go yard at least once.
At least once?
Yeah.
No chance, Mikey. All right, Mike, here we go. We're going to soft toss. Let's get you practice, okay? Just level swing, level swing. No, take a full swing, Mike. Really hit the ball. Well, you're supposed to hit it. All right, Mikey, that was your warm-up. Now, the competition is for real. Anything that's not a home run is an out. You get five outs. You got to get it in the air past me. That counts as a home run. Anything else, swing and a miss. Ground ball, foul ball, out.
Oh,
that's one.
Oh.
That's two outs. That's three outs, Mike. Two left, big boy. Oh, down to his final out. All right, I want you to get at least one. Let's try to get one here.
We'll get one.
All right, let's go.
Going yard.
I think he just called a shot. He called a shot. You won this one.
So, O Perteo, or whatever he says.
In the Don Carlo, in Del Tufo.
Es el autor fido.
From the archives, everybody.
Magic of editing.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to Overreaction Monday, let's get to Jimmy in San Antonio. What's up, Jimmy? One of our favorites.
Jimmy!
What's up, Jimmy?
Que paso, perdedores?
What's up?
Hola, muchacho.
That's losers, Rich. But okay. You didn't lose at Lake Tahoe.
No, not at the American Century Championship, Jimmy. Nope, not at all.
Yeah, but they don't hook me up like they hook you up. So okay. I forgot who started.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, I would like to discuss the performance on Family Feud, but first I have a cease and desist on one of my fantasy football names that I gave to you guys.
Okay, what is it? Ooh.
Take Ginger Persuasion off the list. We all know Rudd's going to pick Wahlberg, Theragun, Pit Crew.
That's right.
But you can keep Plethora of Squat because that's what happened on The Feud. I would like an explanation, sir. I bet $100 on you guys.
What do
My
you mean?
Loyalty is in El Segundo.
Oh,
I don't like
that.
Milford.
I appreciate that. I don't know why. What location were is there? Wagering on
this. Where were we on the board?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where were we on the board?
It was amongst friends, and y'all were
okay.
Well, to be honest, y'all were plus 125.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
All right, let's. You want to walk through it here?
Sure, let's do it.
What happened was. First of all, you know, I don't know. It's similar to, you know, what I was expressing with the American Century Championship, where you're out of your lane and it's sort of out of body. even with being on television, okay, when you stroll out onto that set and there's the studio audience, there's the board, there are the lights, and then Steve Harvey comes walking out, it's really wild, right? Like, did you guys not feel?
It was wild.
It was wild. For sure. Having watched that show since we were little kids,
yes.
It's like I was telling people, yeah. It was out of body. It was very surreal.
And now you got to think on your feet, and now you have experience in this sort of thing.
And I'm glad you guys got to see, because the big running joke is like me and how I didn't do well, even though I got to the finals of the show. But I'm glad you guys got to experience it, because although when I did Price is Right, we didn't have an audience. There
right,
because
it was during the COVID years, right?
But you get to see, man, like, you got to, like, come, and it's not just like a normal answer. You got to think, what are people who are walking around in the middle of the mall in the middle of the day doing who got asked these questions, you know? It's not as easy and simple
with
as
all
think.
With all due respect there, okay, for the top few answers on the board, what are the top answers why you don't go to a nudist colony or something like that? Why you wouldn't be a nudist.
Del Tufo.
He blew that one.
By the way,
what was your answer on that again, Mike?
I didn't want to scare the kids. I would scare the kids. That actually wasn't a horrible answer.
No, that one.
Number one.
I said because you're religious.
Yeah, but that was
which I thought was good too.
Great joke.
That wasn't even there.
That's like, I mean.
But and Chris got that right. Correct. That was you versus Marvin.
Correct.
And you got us control of the board.
Yes.
By saying, what was your answer?
Number one answer. I'm too fat.
Okay. And sadly, that was our high point, because we won the first game.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you got control of the board.
Yep. We were off to a great start.
Okay. And we're off to a great start.
Great start.
I had a great line, right?
Yep.
Where we decided Thor right? Yep, he says, like, why would you say Thor, Steve? Because
he brings the hammer,
Steve, right? Why would you say Thor, Rich, right?
Quality.
Right, it was great. And also, even after you controlling the board, after you got control of the board back, TJ, you came up with the line of the show, as far as I'm concerned. The great moment, and I think this is part of the reason, because I saw some of the guys, I saw Seton at the American Century Championship, because Dan was doing his show from there.
Oh, shout out Seton. He was awesome playing.
He was great. Fritz was unstoppable, right?
Yeah.
We were stunned. We were both, like, taken aback when we first heard that we were part of the season premiere.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay, that we were season premiere worthy. But we provided some funny moments. Obviously, Marvin's family being in the audience was a great, hilarious moment.
Yeah.
And then you answering the why wouldn't you be a nudist is, you said because of your little Steve. You saying that to Steve Harvey, he made a typical Steve Harvey grade A full course meal out of that moment. That was laugh out loud funny. So you did what you like to do, which is to entertain while game playing.
Yep.
You stuck the landing on it because it was on the board, not as little Steve, but, you know.
Well, here's the thing, though.
And then after that moment, somebody followed up with scaring somebody, right? Felly got one right, didn't he? He got it right.
Felly got his right.
And then
came back to you.
To me, and I said, you're religious.
Yep.
And then Dan stole it by saying sunburn.
Well, then
I
got another one, and then TJ, you had another chance.
Yeah, and all I could think of was, like, because there's kids around, and Steve was like, are you sure you want to use that? And I was like, well, yeah, you wouldn't want to do this because, you know, because some people are fine walking around butt naked in front of their kids.
Despite their little Steve?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I didn't watch it, Jimmy, but I did see the clip of me giving that answer, and it seemed like the entire thing got chopped out.
It's on my notes, TJ. Yeah. Y'all, it was hilarious. And Rich, did Steve call you Rick at the very end accidentally?
Did he say Rick? I don't know, but that wouldn't be a first. It wouldn't be a first for me. Yeah. Rick
Eisen sounds like he's a CPA for thrift store.
I got it. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Yeah. Appreciate it.
A lot of the really funny stuff, like TJ stuff, got edited out, and they didn't even mention the Marvin's family stuff. None of that was in the episode.
Oh, it wasn't.
None of it made it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, all the super funny stuff. Like, they did keep Fritz doing his imitation of Steve. Okay. And
what about the you nervous story that I told about Dan?
That didn't make it. They did keep TJ doing the selfie. Who are you up against?
Fritzy.
Yeah, so you and Fritzy and Steve, that selfie that you took, that made it. Okay. But a lot of the really funny parts that we thought during the live taping.
Hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah, didn't make the final
Mike,
edit.
Mike, that was should be up there from Steve. That after I beat Seton.
But we were very disappointed to not
win.
Guys,
if you remember the one thing they told us before the show was like, if someone gives an answer and if you
same
answer, it's an X. Well, you know, not to complain, but at one point, the pot was really big. It was about, I want to say, 200 plus points.
Yeah.
Fritzy gave an answer that was already given.
Yep.
They let him give the answer again. We had the answer ready to steal.
So
we
had
we were ready to steal it.
And again, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore, again, of what people, when you run into people, like I ran into folks in the gallery of the American Century Championship. That's why I haven't seen it yet because, you know, Thursday night, that was the karaoke night.
Me doing that.
And I had to go crush that before,
It's on Hulu, full episode on Hulu.
Okay, and I'm Hulu. Right here on the Roku platform and portal.
If you missed it.
Yes, so I haven't seen that yet, nor have I really heard anything other than the fact of people in the gallery all weekend long at the American Century Championship were telling me that Dan has been laying into us.
Oh yeah,
on his
yeah.
program.
Like he'll do a rematch.
That they've been having fun. And
by the way,
but you know when people
we
say that,
week,
I don't know
so
if it's true.
That.
I don't know if like they might exaggerate it because they know that Dan and I have a long-standing relationship, where you know he still hazes me even to this day.
Little brothers you a little bit.
I got a text yesterday after finishing second to last. I got a text from Dan Patrick saying you owned Dylan Dreyer. Is what he texted. You know, okay. So to this day, it's nonstop. But I think we're closing in on our fourth decade of him hazing me. Okay.
Sure.
You own Dylan Dreyer! ! From Dan Patrick an hour after finish. Yeah, right there. Okay, very good. Okay, you don't have to show it. Everyone can look it up.
Oh, look at who's in front of you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Technically, you tied Catherine Tatler.
I know. And by the way, I had a par putt on the final hole where I could have been 59.
Oh.
Anyway.
All right.
That said, if there is some sort of standing we can have to, 100%. If you will, protest the result.
100% we can.
TJ.
I'm just saying, it was like we were told specifically.
We can protest the result because we would have gotten the board back.
Because he gave the answer we were sitting on.
Yeah.
And then.
That's right.
Remember that? Yeah.
He gave that answer on his second bite at that apple.
And, and then remember Dan did the one about his wife, and then they were like, oh, a human being.
That was kind of questionable as well.
That was questionable too.
The question is there a game show appeals court?
We're going.
Or
should we call judge?
Or do you say do we now just in the same genre of daytime television, even though this is a nighttime primetime made for primetime Celebrity Family Feud event? Judge Judy, do we go? Is what where does one take this grievance? That's all I'm saying.
Great question.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think we don't want to look like sore losers.
They did close it out. They were down. They had two answers on the board in the final one with two strikes and got them both to win.
They did make some great runs.
Yeah, and Dan and Fritzy dominated the final round.
Well,
so,
by the way,
hat off
that was the thing that I was chafing about.
We also would have dominated.
We would have dominated that.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Those were easy.
And that's not one of those things where it's just like you're in the bright lights and like no those.
No, we were playing along. You
I
and
do
me
believe
and,
again the Celebrity Family Feud folks and kudos to them want to
give money
away.
To charity.
Yes,
right.
Give money to charity,
right.
Which is awesome.
And what is it? The Boys and Girls Club of Milford, Connecticut. Connecticut. Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm glad for them.
Hats off. Yeah.
And like you said, had we won, we had already decided it was going to be you and Chris that would go up and do the final two. So it's like,
It would have been fun. Maybe we'll get another chance.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
All right, I guess we have some video of me.
Oh, good.
I think this is taken by Alex Beta, the worst half of Rich Eisen Productions CFO Katie Beta. This was yesterday. After I put the ball in that tan sand.
Is this on 17?
This is 17. You could see the distraction behind me, TJ. This is for bogey to make sure there's no blood.
Oh, let's go.
That's right.
Well done.
That was Susie say. Oh, Susie shot that, I guess. That was her saying, oh, let's go.
Here's a note Adam put in the sheet here that some of the callers are asking. You know, Jimmy Rollins made a hole-in-one on 12, won the boat. Did he buy drinks for everybody?
No idea. I'll find out. I'll make some calls on that. Susie also has some other highlights that I guess she sent to Hoskins. Let's see what we got here. Oh, no. Gosh darn it. wasn't bad.
We
that
need the shot tracer on that. Where'd that end up?
Yeah. In those trees.
This is on Saturday. Well, you can see the T died a hero here. Let's see what we got here. There's Susie shot this on Saturday, I guess. That wasn't a bad roll.
That's not bad. How fast were the greens?
Oh, God.
Slick?
Dude, bowling alley.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is narrow.
Whoa.
Ooh, that was dead right.
That was not good.
Yeah.
That was not good.
Oh, look at this.
This was on 17.
Oh, caddy likes it.
Yeah. And it wound up just shy of the green. I got it up and down from there for the sand. I wound up in the sand, and I got it up and down from the sand.
Attaboy. That was the par on Friday?
No, actually, I got it up and down after getting it out of the sand for a bogey.
Attaboy.
I went par bogey bogey on 17.
That's great.
So
that's a positive point total.
Susie sent the one of me putting it in the woods.
I love it.
Golf is a good and bad sport, you know, man.
Again, Suze was part of the whole weekend, which was awesome. And long story short, though, I said to her, I'm like, you know, it's beautiful. Walking around that golf course, playing that golf course.
Oh, Tahoe was unbelievable.
And I'm like, I said it was, you know, it's kind of calming. And she goes, are you out of your mind? She was nerve-wracking watching you, is what she said.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's nerve-wracking watching you. Which might be another, is that the compendium of my golf memoir?
Yeah, nerve-wracking.
It's nerve-wracking watching you?
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Oh, my God. So
you made it. It's over.
There you go. All right, by the way, you made it. It's over.
You made it. It's over.
I did make it. It is over.
I think that's the follow-up.
Is it the follow-up?
That's the follow-up.
You made it.
It's over.
Sort of like the Family Feud for me.
You just make it. It's like great tee shot.
I made it bad.
Great tee shot, but if you put it behind a tree,
you're
finished.
Yeah.
If you on a par four, if you don't play perfectly, or just get. Because it's no points for a bogey, 2 points for double. I was just on the double train.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Nonstop double train.
Not the train you want to be on.
It's not the train you wish to be on. No.
You're right about that backdrop, though. I saw
it's gorgeous.
Ocean and boats and some things on the ball.
And if you're watching anybody who's any good, like Matt Ryan, the ball's just, it's just a thing of beauty. Yeah.
Playing with a really good golfer, the sound of the ball off the club, their ball flight, it's just a different game than you know, kind
and
of
then
the average
look at that,
Joe
right
plays.
By
the,
I took that picture from from one of the events.
You find Fredo out there?
Exactly.
Wow.
Overreaction Monday on a Monday, hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
It's funny, guys. On the first hole on Saturday, I tee off. Actually, not a bad shot. And a guy from the gallery says, "Overreaction Saturday." And I look at him, I point at him, I'm like, good one. And he goes, "On a Saturday." Swear to God.
Look at us.
That happened. Look at
the little show that could. Everybody good? Good to see you. Yeah. We're all back. Not all of these guys wanting new deals are going to get it. Someone is getting traded, mark my words. Talking about TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, Terry McLaurin, and now Juwan Jennings. Someone's getting moved.
No, I would think if it's any of them who doesn't get a deal and they won't get moved, I don't think anybody's getting moved. It would be Trey Hendrickson. That would be the one who's just like, hey, man, sorry that you're as good as everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, we had to pay these wide receivers. There's no money left. There's no pie. You know what I mean? Nah. There is no money in our banana stand. And despite him being turning 31, if I had to choose, he's not on the screen. I don't think any of those guys are getting traded. Even though I know deep down you're hoping McLaurin winds up to being a Patriot for some reason.
I know
you're trying
McLaurin.
To talk it into existence. It ain't happening. Everyone on this screen is going to get something done. Even Juwan Jennings, I think that at the end of the day, they might, put a little sweetener on top. I don't know. But if you have to just see who's going to hold the line, I would choose the Bengals on Trey Hendrickson, but not to trade him. Just say, too bad. I don't know.
And didn't you bump into Mike Vrabel? Did he give you any indication that, we're dealing for McLaurin or what?
Vrabel, to me, looked like a happy camper and 100% wasn't thinking football at all. Like he was using this moment to which by the way is as healthy, I think, as it goes.
Well, yeah.
You're about to be in it. Like
take your heart pills and buckle.
Honestly, he was as relaxed as possible, and just a real quick story on that. At a Thursday night dinner before the karaoke, we're all there. I'm sitting here. He's sitting at a table next to mine, but we're facing each other. And he's got like this, he's sipping something. And we lock eyes and he goes like this, waves at me with his pinky. And I thought I turned to Susie, I'm like one of the manliest men coaching in the National Football League right now. Just pinky waved at me.
That's good.
And I won't forget it.
By the way, Vrabel pinky wave.
But Vrabel pinky wave. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots rookies are on the 19th. So this is essentially his last weekend.
Yeah, this is it.
And he didn't look like a care in the world. Yeah. But I don't think he's going to wind up with McLaurin, brother.
Yeah. Crossing fingers.
Go for it.
All right, play the sound from Deion Sanders. Let's go.
Oh, let's do it.
I like the professional rules to be implemented in college. They're getting ready to be pros. So let's go 2 feet in, on the catches. Let's mark the foul if we pass interference. Let's do the same thing the pro game is. Let's do it to college.
That's a Big 12 media day last week. Deion Sanders, he's right. The NCAA should adopt these. 2 feet in for a catch, spot foul for pass interference.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. They already got rid of this nonsense of stopping the clock for first down, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to move the chains.
To move the chains? He's right. I mean, they're professionals already. You might as well, spot on. Let's go.
I also saw something they're going to start fighting.
Didn't Belichick say that?
Belichick's been kind of pushing this for a while. Deion also said that they should fine guys for equipment and uniform violations. They're getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's true.
But knowing the way Deion thinks is that if your job includes getting these kids ready for the next level, you might as well get them ready for the next level.
Absolutely.
That's the point, yeah.
Yep. Right?
That's the point.
Yeah, Brockman and I were talking about this before the show.
Absolutely.
If you're going to professionalize them, then you might as well.
2 feet or 1 feet, both of them.
Right, you might as well professionalize the game in itself.
Yep.
To match what they need to do at the next level.
If you're getting them ready to go to the next level, then you can't give them a whole set of different rules.
I'm absolutely with you.
Yeah. Guys, we're in the middle of it. It's July. TJ, our birthdays are next week.
Yeah.
Summer's great. I love summer. Summer is awesome.
Okay.
but it ain't fall. Fall's still the best season. Season power rankings, fall, summer, spring, winter. That's the list.
No. I don't think that's an overreaction.
No.
Also, you add the sports element. We got.
Oh, that's where I'm going. You're just talking about life.
I'm just talking about life, but then you throw in the sports. This list, hands down.
Yeah, in winter, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm not a boy. Look, there are people who love the
March Madness and
skiing and snowboarding.
It's still winter.
They wouldn't like this, but
winter.
Winter's last. Nobody. Winter's over.
For sports, winter. In the
what
season,
are we talking
spring.
About here? Talking yeah. about best
everything. Season. Everything. All of it season in general.
Life in general.
Give me your list then, Mike.
Spring, summer, spring, fall, summer, winter.
Okay.
But winter is, sports-wise, is definitely the best. Think about it.
Okay.
Winter.
I mean, he's got a point.
Football, you got to think about it. What happens
Super
in winter?
Super Bowl is technically winter.
Super Bowl. Playoffs.
But the Chris most is of the football
life
season.
In general. Not just
by the way, is this the most July 14th?
I mean, we're
entry in the history of Overreaction Look, Monday.
If you're taking just life in general, summer.
What else you got?
No, summertime, man.
What else you got?
I came up with that one in traffic. Summer. Rich, I know you don't want to hear it, but look, it's honest. Hottest team in baseball heading into the break. The Red Sox are better without Devers, and we're winning the AL East. Let's go.
Hey, pal, I don't know about you. You're going to win the AL East. Yeah. The AL East.
Well, that's
smart. I think we all should give Red Sox management a mea culpa, right? After they traded Devers,
oh man,
who's the one who said that we're still gonna win? We did this to win.
Yeah, you know, that was Sam Kennedy.
Yeah, right. And
president,
and you were like, what the hell?
We were all like, what are you talking about? Yeah,
there's been addition by subtraction. Ooh, get him out,
baby.
There's one voice. His name is Alex Cora. He's a terrific manager. Let's go play some baseball. You know?
Yeah. I think this deal has proven vibes in the clubhouse matter.
Vibes matter.
Vibes matter.
Vibes matter.
Vibes.
Real vibes matter.
It's a good boat name.
And it's
you see Will Clark is getting on Devers because Devers didn't go out to play,
quote unquote, blew off some workouts.
Well, you know, at first base with Will Clark being brought in to help out for to help Devers. But I think Clark said he kind of understood that Devers didn't want to do it while the Red Sox were in town.
Right.
But did in fact leave Will Clark with his, if you will, glove in his hand. And he said, the next time though I come into town, your behind is going to be out there on the field. Which just, goes to show. Vibes matter, man.
Vibes matter.
Hey,
man.
Congratulations to your team. Is there a banner that's going to be hung in Fenway Park?
From the king of celebrating wins in May and June? You're going to give that to me?
I'm just wondering, is there going to be a, hey, we own the last 10 days of the first half of the season banner?
The king of celebrating.
Objects in mirror June. Closer than they appear, pal.
Freddie Prinze Jr., hour number 3 coming up.
All right, a couple more. We got obviously the Derby tonight. And let's be honest, the Home Run Derby is the premier all-star event in all of sports. It's better than the three-point. It's better than anything the NHL does.
It is cool.
Give me the Home Run Derby.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Right, and the Moneyball, right?
Yeah, the Moneyball. Yeah. The way they kind of redid it with the brackets and everything and the max, it's awesome.
I agree.
Love it. Can't wait to see it.
Sold.
Tonight.
I don't think that's an overreaction as well.
That's it.
No, he wants you to do the drop, the one more drop that is in every single one of these segments.
Well, it's not in every
every one of them.
We need one more.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe. I did not know.
All right, wow.
I didn't actually. I'm with your son.
The Clooney Cooper doubleheader.
You're back.
Okay. I didn't know.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, we need a rematch. We're totally going to take down Dan the next time. It's on, okay? I don't care where it is, where we have to do it. We're going to own them.
I'm going to be relegated.
Mike, honestly, you're replaced by O'Shea. It's totally fine.
I'm relegated.
And we're back.
I'm relegated.
Okay? We're taking them out.
We
got super unlucky. They kind of skirted the rules a little bit. But we got this.
This smacks of desperation, I'm not going to lie.
You could put O'Shea, right? Because he does shows in here. Yeah, I'm done. I'm relegated.
I mean, I'd do it.
You don't think we'd beat them, though?
Of course we would. I mean, that goes without saying.
That was the thing.
We would totally understand. I see what you're saying. All right. So let's try again. Okay. Go ahead.
We need a rematch because we're totally going to win the next time. Okay. The last time was bull, whatever.
Yes.
We got holes on the rules. What are we doing?
Yes.
We get Mike out. Sorry. O'Shea in.
Yes.
And we do this.
The lights were in our eyes. You know what I mean?
There was the crowd, the music.
Yeah,
there was too much going on. Steve had a velour suit on. What was that?
I know. Not Steve Harvey.
Is that better?
No.
No.
I don't think we're going to get that chance, pal.
To go back?
to go back to Celebrity Family Feud.
Well, I mean, that's what we're trying to be nice about.
Maybe we do this next year in Tahoe or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Showdown.
I'm trying to go back.
Oh, look, we do it ourselves?
We do it our own.
That's but why would Dan agree to do that? He's won and it's over.
Well, because he knows it's the kind of fraudulent win.
Oh, it's deep down.
Yeah, deep down he knows.
It's a fraudulent
win. He needs to do it
win.
Again. You know what I mean? Like when you're kids and you're like, got to prove it. You're playing horse and someone hits a crazy shot. You're like, prove it. Like Dan's got to prove it.
That's a shame.
Let me read it with Dan. I'll say this. Dan sent me a text right after the morning. I woke up Sunday morning. Woke up yesterday. Okay. First thing he wrote, you have them right where you want them.
Yeah, what a dick.
Good luck. Good luck today.
Stan
the world is
so
watching.
Thank you. And chew won't bark.
Where's my Rich. Sunday
That's
morning wake up?
Sadly, I watched 9 hours of coverage. Not one shot from you.
That's all good. No one could take this
good.
Away from us.
I'm hanging that up.
At least I looked good.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.